Sing one more song, wake up a little bit. I'm just picking at you. Got your outlines. We saw previously the meaning of the word church. We saw that Christ said in Matthew 16, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We saw the church as the subject. And the church is not a building. The church is, though these buildings are the church buildings dedicated to the worship and the service of the Lord, a place of worship. But the church is the congregation itself. We are a called out assembly of baptized believers whose faith is in Jesus Christ. Because of that, we are those who now are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And we are his church. There are many churches in the world, and they have many members. But really, only those who are genuinely saved by faith in Christ and therefore receive the Spirit of God are really the true church of Jesus Christ. People who are religious but lost are not the true church. You must be saved. You must have the Spirit of God. And we are a part of the body of Christ. The message of the church we've seen is the gospel and all the word of God. We're to teach the whole counsel of God. We are to teach sound doctrine. And many churches in the world today have gotten away from the importance of magnifying the Lord and his word, and they've gotten involved in many other things. And they've lost their proper balance on prayer and teaching and preaching, and music and entertainment and sports have begun to take the forefront over the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. I've seen some churches, the mega church movement, that have 90-minute services, and they might have 15 minutes of a Bible message and never actually read a passage of Scripture from the Bible that they're going to preach from. God help us to keep a proper balance in our church and the most important things in the forefront. As one old preacher said, let's keep the main thing the main thing. And it's easy to get astray of that over a period of time with the demands of society pressing upon us. They saw, thirdly, the mandate of the church is to make disciples. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus said that we're to make disciples of all nations of people. The expression all nations is the word ethnos, and that means every ethnic group of people in the world. Christ wants them to be saved and baptized and be taught everything he has commanded. And the imperative there, or command, is to make disciples. So we are to make disciples as a church by preaching the gospel, baptizing those that believe, and then teaching them everything the Lord has commanded. We talk about imperatives. Imperatives are much more than just the Ten Commandments. Commands, an imperative in the Greek language, is a command from the Lord. There are some 1,622 imperatives in the New Testament, 451 in Paul's writing, including Hebrews, 88 in the book of Revelation, and 146 in the general epistles and the Gospel of John. Now, these imperatives are things that we are commanded to do. Look in your Bible with me at 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Beginning with verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. There's a list of just rapid fire imperatives that are given here. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I've been struck with this war in Ukraine that we have so much to be thankful for. We are complainers by nature, and we complain about the gas prices, we complain about the weather. We have absolutely no control over the weather, and the person who does have control over the weather is a person that we should give praise and thanksgiving to, not complaints and murmuring. And the Lord has blessed us here with sparing us from these terrible tornadoes and the effects of this storm as it came across the country. Texas, Oklahoma, Mississippi, Louisiana, there have been numerous deaths, great amount of destruction of property. In Texas, over 80 people lost homes and no one died. But when it got into Oklahoma, they did have someone killed, and there were several others that were severely injured. The devastation of a tornado is just almost beyond the ability to explain. If you've ever seen the devastation of it, we live here. If you were here when Hurricane Hugo came through and spawned off numerous tornadoes, the city was shut down for a matter of days and weeks with big trees in the highways, and trees fell on people's homes and on their cars and all that sort of thing. Roofs taken off houses. And we had church members that did not have power and water for 2 full weeks when Hurricane Hugo came through. And some of us had to use buckets and get water out of creeks and swimming pools and places like that to flush the toilets with and things of that nature. And it was hard, but we look at what's going on in the Ukraine, and those people would like to find a place where they could get water to drink, find a place where they could use the bathroom, find a place where they had enough heat to sleep at night without freezing. And then on top of that, there's the possibility that a rocket will tear up the building that they're in and cause devastation. Verse 19 says, quench not the spirit. Verse 20, despise not prophesying. Verse 21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Each one of these verses is giving us an imperative, a command of what we are to do. And these are the kind of commands that we are to teach people, not just the Ten Commandments that are given. God gave Israel over 600 commands, and but in the New Testament, we are focused more on the imperatives of the church age in how we are to live and what we are to teach people to do. And Ephesians 5:18, I like to mention as the imperative in Ephesians 5:18 is, be not drunk with wine. Be not. That's a command. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So to be filled with the Spirit is an imperative from God to us all. And to be filled with the Spirit simply means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That takes us being clean and fit for the Master's use and submissive to Him, that He can work through us and we can be filled with the Spirit. So these are deeper than just the commandments of the Old Testament. And making disciples of all nations, teaching them everything that the Lord has commanded. And then we start tonight looking at the metaphors of the church that continues. The church is the body of Christ. The body of Christ. The church is called the bride of Christ. The church is called the flock with Christ as the shepherd. The church is the family of God. The church is the building of God. The church is the temple of God. And there are several more. But we'll look tonight at the church as the body of Christ. The church is the body, and Christ is the head. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll begin with verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. I welcome all those at home watching on live streaming. Joy and I went and met with Tommy and Rita at 4:15 or so, 4:30 this afternoon, and with the two other couples, with the guy Bailey, who's been on our prayer list, and Guy was able to be there. He's on oxygen all the time now. He's still got trouble with his lungs. He's still got some numbers wrong in his liver tests, but he looked pretty good, and Tommy was getting around pretty good and talking good, and Tommy had a bridge, really from the center all the way to one whole side, the top, and that got broken. And so those teeth are out. Now he's got to have all the rest of those pulled, and they'll do a temporary plate that he'll wear for even up to a year while they make his new teeth and get him fitted for them and all that sort of thing. So remember him in prayer. And they want to come back to church, but they just got so many, you know, reasons that are holding them back. Also, Rita sent off the test. Instead of having a colonoscopy, she sent off the test kit for that. And they called her back and said it showed positive. So she's got to go in now and go through tests to find out. And, you know, your mind tells you it's the worst. You got to try to hope for the best. Hopefully the worst is just a polyp that's turning or something. They can take care of it pretty simply. But please remember in prayer. And we went there because the Autons, our friends from Lincolnton, North Carolina, are hosts at the campground out here at Ebenezer Park. It was their 60th wedding anniversary. And Larry is at least 83 or 84 years old. And Brenda's about 4 or 5 years younger than him. Though I make careful to say she looks much younger than that. But they don't take any medicine whatsoever, neither one of them. And they are workers. They go from 5 o'clock in the morning till, you know, into the night. And I'd love to have their kind of stamina and health. And it was their 60th wedding anniversary, so we ate supper with them and celebrated with them. And we enjoyed that time. Now, verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. This church is a local body of Christ. But everyone who is genuinely saved and has the Spirit of God dwelling within them is a part of the body of Christ." How does that happen? Verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, 'Because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him." And this is the definition in verse 18 of what is called adoption. By adoption, we are born into the family of God through faith in Christ by the Spirit of God. But adoption takes place at that moment. And that is God, by His Spirit, placing us into the body of Christ with whatever gifts or abilities that He gives us, that we might be one within the body that serves unto the Lord. Verse 20 says, "But now are there many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So, as believers, we're a part of the body of Christ. The church is compared to the human body. And just as the human body has eyes and ears and hands and feet and a nose to smell, the church has many members, and there are all important members, and their functions are all important, and they work together for the good of the whole body. Now, what controls our body? What controls our hands and our eyes and our ears is the brain. And Christ is the head of the body. And we submit to Him, and He guides us and directs us and equips us as He would have us to serve. We work together in harmony under the direction of Christ, the head. The church is a living organism. An organism has common life in all its parts. It is living, and the body of Christ is living. We have been partakers of one Spirit. We have believed upon one Savior. We have received eternal life, as all believers receive. We work together. We seek to do the will of God upon the earth. Each part of the body is important and should work in unity for the good of the body. Not in selfish ways, not in ways for attention, not in ways to pull others after us, but to build up others that we all might serve in the way that pleases the Lord. In Philippians 2, if you want to turn there with me. Philippians 2 and verse 12 and 13 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." So Paul was not going to always be at Philippi. He was not going to always be at Corinth. He was not going to always be at Ephesus, even though he stayed 18 months at Corinth and 3 years at Ephesus. But he would not always be there with these people. And so he couldn't be there to answer their questions and give them advice and lead them and guide them and direct them. That was the job of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And with him not there, they still could work through their salvation because of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And he said to them, "It's God that works in you to will and do of His good pleasure." So that's a vital part of our understanding of our service to the Lord and our service in the church. Believers are gifted by God to build up the church. The word is often used, edify the church. Edify simply means to build up. And that is not selfish. It's not a display of gifts. It's unity and love and harmony producing the work that pleases God and accomplishes God's will. The early church had apostles and prophets, but there are no apostles and prophets today. There may be some who call themselves that, but they do not have the gifts of apostles or the gifts of prophets that were available up through the New Testament until the church began and got going. And as those died off in the early church, there was no one to replace them. For no one receives an audible word from God or the direction from God that the apostles and the prophets received in the past. There are no prophets because we're not writing the Word of God today. It has been completed. And so those functions of those people and those gifted ones are no longer with us. Now God works through the church using evangelists and pastors and teachers and deacons and the members as the servants of God to edify and encourage and comfort and evangelize and motivate from within the church. And we are a part of that, and we should do our best to find a place of service for God that we can help and aid in building up the church. Many members have the gifts of helps, abilities of service, and they can serve in many ways, and those are vitally needed. The speaking gift of the pastor is not any more important than the people who help in the operation of the church or the administration of the church or the leadership of the church. That's my gift and job, and those are other people's gifts and jobs, and we're to work together for the cause of Christ. As the church is strong, it benefits all the church. The baptism of the Spirit is experienced by all believers. When they are saved, they're placed into the body of Christ. Water baptism is a type and a symbol of what's already happened in you when you believed on Christ as your Savior. It was as if you were buried with Him when He died on the cross and was buried, and rose again with Him unto new life when you received Christ as your Savior. And water baptism pictures that and is an entrance into the local church that we might demonstrate that we have believed on Christ and now we've been saved to walk in newness of life. We're given an imperative to be filled with the Spirit, which we looked at that a moment ago. It simply means to be controlled by the Spirit. You see, God would have all within the body to be spiritual people. But gifts and being spiritual are not necessarily the same. There can be people who have gifts that are not as spiritual as they should be because they operate in the flesh rather than in the Spirit. And so God would have us to be spiritual by living the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and walking with God in a manner of humble servitude unto Him. To be filled is a matter of being clean and fit vessels dedicated to God for His service. We yield to Him to do whatever we do that it might bring honor and glory unto the Lord. Our differing gifts and abilities are to work together to build up the church. There's also a difference between gifts and natural talents. I've always been jealous of people who have the natural talent to play musical instruments. I've known some young men that could play a guitar, their daddy could play a guitar, and they could play a guitar from the time they were very young, and even when they, before they got into their teen years, they could play, you know, just fluently musical instruments. Some can play three or four or five musical instruments. We've been praying for Ashley about this foot to get this infection out of it, and they've taken the screw out of the bone that's been in there for a long time, and that's where the pain came from. And that young lady, I'm amazed at all the things she's done in her life to become a doctor, that she's been involved in like the YMCA, lifeguarding and teaching and all that sort of thing when she was young. She's learned music. She can play several musical instruments. And she's just an amazing person with a lot of talent and a lot of abilities that's taken hard work. And I admire what she's done. But there can be a difference between a natural ability or talent and a gift from God to serve Him. In Ephesians 4:11 through 15, church leaders were given to the church to equip the saints for the work of the ministry and to build up the body of Christ. Verse 14 of that passage says, "So we will no longer be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of teachers that comes along, cunning craftiness. They deceive and draw people away, and false teachers. And so the Lord would have us mature and be grounded in the faith and have understanding of the Word, so that we're not over here on this movement and over here on that movement. And, you know, the Word of God is settled forever in heaven. I always tell people, if something new comes along, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. It's been in the Bible all along, you know. You might learn something you didn't know before that was in the Bible, but if it's in the Bible, then it's not some new revelation that's come from God. And but people get carried about with false teachers. And it's important that the church is mature and strong in the faith and not tossed to and fro. Now, members are appointed to specific areas of service. Look at Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And it continues on about hospitality. So we've presented ourselves to be the living sacrifice, and we are to be holy and acceptable unto God. Sometimes people want to serve to get a title, but their life is not holy before the Lord. It needs to be holy first, and then the Lord will exalt you in his due time. This can cause a stumbling block among believers. We're shaped after Christ and not after this world, patterned after Christ, away from this world, is away from. We're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed. Conformed means with, form, shape, pattern with this world. We're not to be in that way. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, to be shaped and patterned from something away from this world, which is Christ. To serve God, we must not be novices, which means beginners or unenlightened or children. We're to be taught, we're to be trained, we're to be motivated, developing a consistent walk and knowledge of God for his will for our life, that we might do what he would have us to do. Verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. It goes a long way toward effective service when we take that kind of attitude toward people to build them up. Reveals it takes work to do that, and motivation in a fervent spirit to continue, to be faithful to study, to be faithful to learn, to be faithful to attend the services, to find a place that you can help in the place where you find help might not have been what you thought about in the beginning. But maybe it's a need and God can use you there. And if you're willing to do that, it may help the body and God may not leave you there forever. He may move you into other things as you grow in the Lord. Ephesians 2, we are each and every one important to God. We are loved by God. We're being watched over by God. He listens to our prayers. And we are responsible to bear fruit unto Him, as John 15 teaches. Now look down at the little add-on I got out of one of my notes here in the copy at the bottom. It says, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit set the course for the church as it journeys from the upper room to the rapture. The church is to, number one, wage war, from Ephesians 6. We're to put on the whole armor of God that we might stand against the wiles of the devil. We're to run a race. The Christian life is like a marathon race. We must keep our eyes on Jesus, who's the originator and the finisher of our faith. And we must stay on the right path for the Lord. Run the race. It is a labor in love with God. The church of Jesus Christ will emerge triumphant, for we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And the church cannot fail because Christ is the head of the church, the Holy Spirit is the power of the church, and the Word of God is the guide for the church. The future of the church will be one day we'll be caught up to be with the Lord. And the expression caught up is a forcible seizure. Christ will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. And so that is our future. We'll be caught up in incorruption, in glorified bodies like Christ's body, to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Our works will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll be rewarded, or we may suffer loss. And then the future of the church and the kingdom, the 12 apostles will sit on thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. But the church will have a particular place with the Lord. All who overcome the evils of society and through the Laodicean age will sit with Christ in His kingdom and will rule and reign with Him in the 1,000 years upon the earth. We will be kings and priests unto God in the kingdom that is to come. We'll have our glorified bodies. And so that's a part of our reward, to be with the Lord and to be in places of responsibility for God in His kingdom. The church is an important thing. And to be saved and have the Spirit of God within you and to serve the Lord, the church is the best and greatest place to be a part of in faithfulness unto the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the faithfulness of Your people in being here tonight. Bless them and encourage them, I pray. Help us, Lord, to be a church that is true and faithful unto You. And we seek to serve You and give You the honor and glory. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.